Okay, so we're going to be looking at freedom to live forgiven, which is from the following passages of Galatians, part of 1 and part of 2. And Chris looked a little bit in between that last week, which we'll come back to in a moment. But all right. So I live at Tanilwa Bay, and as I drive off the peninsula, there's a house at the roundabout at the end of the street, and I have to stop at that roundabout. And it had this sign on it, a big sign, and it says, "Jesus is coming. Are you ready?" And every time I'd stop at the roundabout, I'd go, "Yes, I'm ready." I love that sign. And then someone asked me, "Why do you say yes?" And I thought, "Ooh, it's because it's not about me. It's not about what I've done. It's what Jesus has done. It's about the finished work of Jesus." I look at that sign, I belong. I'm a daughter. I'm a child of God and a daughter of the Most High King. So I can say yes. And I am forgiven. I am a sinner, but I am forgiven. And there's no condemnation in Christ. Yeah, this gives me such a sense of peace, as Brian was talking about this morning, and of joy. It was the Galatians were in danger of losing this because of this little tiny thing, this little book here called the Torah, which was actually the laws. And when we think about the laws, we think about the Ten Commandments, but there are actually 600 and something, I forgot to look up how many, laws, some of which are just totally irrelevant to me. My favourite one, I was telling someone the other day that if your neighbour's donkey falls into your well, you have to give him, I don't know, you have to give him three of your donkeys or something like that. Look it up yourself. In return, I don't know if anyone's got a well, let alone a donkey in the room, but we probably don't need a lot of that, and neither did the Galatians, really. So what happened is, Chris asked us last week to have a look at the Bible Project for Galatians. So if you haven't had a chance to do that, try and do it this week, or maybe try and do it in your Connect group even, because it's a great unpacking of what happened last week. And I think it'll also be up as on our website as well. But the Galatians started their journey by faith, but they were misled by the false teaching that required them to be like Jews. So Galatia was an area with lots of different peoples, Jews and Gentiles together. And some of the Jews were telling the non-Jews that to be a Christian, they had to follow some of those laws, and they had to follow some of the rites and the rituals. They had to follow this little tiny thing. Yeah. Mentioned so many times in the Bible, called circumcision. I guess they figured if they could get them to do one small thing like that, then they could get them to do all the other things in there as well. It's an awkward topic, isn't it? Let's not go any further on that one. This was the very first attack on the church, and it came from the people within, not without. We can never, ever get this 600 and something or other fully right. We can't even get the 10 fully right. Okay, so this is what the freedom is all about today. We don't need to know about circumcision, and we don't need to know all those rules in the Torah, but some of the essence of this has still flowed down into Christianity today. One of the things we were talking about, like, do more, try harder. You know, if we could just pray harder, if we just read our Bible more, if we could just help out, you know, in the church, yeah, that's great. Those things are lovely. But they're not going to save you. They're not going to offer you freedom. Chris mentioned last week that we have to be enslaved to something. And it could be one of these things that Keturah is going to help me build up a wall in a moment. Or, my choice, I could be enslaved to Jesus. That's my choice. So this will be a wall that Keturah, thank you, is going to be my labourer today. She's going to be doing some works over here. that are some threats to our freedom. Galatians is a letter, and it's in a letter format. It's got a to and a from, and it's got a beautiful greeting. So it says it's from Paul. He was born Saul. He was a pretty bad bloke, Saul. He persecuted and killed Christians. But he had a moment where God came to him and told him what he was going to do. So God not only forgave him what he had done, he transformed him. And That's what Jesus does for us as well. So he was appointed by the Holy Spirit, like all the other apostles were appointed by Jesus, not by man, not by the church, not by some council, but by Jesus himself. And so his credentials, yeah, they came from Jesus. And Saul got his name changed to Paul when he was transformed. He starts with this beautiful thing about grace and peace. And when we release grace and peace upon other people, we're releasing our undeserved kindness and well-being over them. And what that does is it makes them more likely to listen to us, or makes them, you know, trust us maybe a bit more, so that we're able to speak the truth to them. And this is how he approached the Galatians, some of which who opposed him. So it says, "This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from the evil world in which we live." I'll come back to that in a minute. So that word rescue, it's the word where you think of the word rescue, what does it mean? It's like saved, forgiven, died, Jesus dying for our sins, made us righteous, made us look perfect to God. And that evil world he's referring to, it could have been the world of the Romans, like if you've seen Gladiator, pretty evil world they lived in. It could have been the world of that Jewish religion where it was duty and performance and rules and rites and rituals. But it can also be the world we live in today, and we often think of the world we live in today as being evil. We think about politics and climate change and woke ideology and gender identity and all those things that we could worry about. And all those things that we might be tempted to judgment is that big one there, others on. And all that serves to do is to divide us. And division is not what we want. Unity is what we want. I love the last sentence there. It says, "All glory to God forever and ever." Amen. Thank you. Yes, that's what we were created to be. That's the meaning of life. We were here on earth to bring glory to God forever and ever. All right. "I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon." These were pretty young Christians. "They're turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You're following a different way that pretends to be good news, but it's not good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ." So what is the good news? If you have got a testimony about Jesus, what Jesus has done in your life, we heard a couple here, then that's good news. The good news he's talking about is that justification by faith is the heart and soul of the gospel. It's the true gospel. We're forgiven and we're righteous. All Abraham did as a chosen Jew was believed God. And he was credited or given righteousness. He didn't do anything for it. Jesus has paid the price for all of our sins on the cross, and his work fulfills God's requirements. It fulfills them completely. And we obtain blessings united to Jesus by faith. Faith is expressed by repentance and forgiveness. We cannot earn it by anything else. And if we fail, we try. And that's that dilemma between faith and works that we talk about. So those Galatians were misled by being confused. I just got to turn it around so they can read. Yeah, confusion. And also about lies. You can't be a Christian unless you are circumcised and don't eat bacon. I'd never make it. So the second bit, when I read this passage, the bottom bit, I almost went and said, I can't do this, because what if I bring, where is my box? I'm going to pick up this one here. This is a pretty heavy box here. Oh, I don't know if I can get it. It's pretty weighty, this one. I thought, what if my message is not good enough today? What if I say the wrong thing? Big box to put down. Happy to hand it over. Because it says, let God's curse fall on anyone. A curse is the opposite of a blessing, including us or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. That's that gospel, which I say again, now what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news other than the one that we welcome, let that person be cursed. I just wanted to read, just so we get it right on here. This was what Paul defined, so it's not my words. This is what Paul wrote, and this is Acts, Acts 13, 38. Therefore, my friends, this is the good news. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free. And every sin, a justification, you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Mum reminded me last night, Mum's here today, she had a friend, Shirley, and her friend Shirley used to say to her, "Oh, Ruthie, you're such a good person, you'll get into heaven." And Mum, Shirley wasn't a Christian, she really didn't know much about Jesus at all. And Mum said to her, "You know, that's not what's going to get me into heaven. The thing that the ticket that gets me into heaven is faith." And we do hope that Shirley understood that, but we'll never know. Well, maybe we will know. When Peter came to Antioch, Antioch was one of the many churches of Galatia. It's where Turkey is today. And it was an area, lots of Jews had fled there when they were persecuted, and lots of Greeks lived there, and there was lots of Gentiles. So there was this great mixture of people, very multicultural. And of course, in those days, Jews and Gentiles never mixed. They didn't mix on any account. But Peter previously had a vision that God gave him, where he saw all the food in a sheet in the air that were, God said, they're all clean. You can have any of this. And so Peter wasn't scared to eat or mix with the Gentiles and the non-Jews, even though he was raised a Jew himself, and that was a big no-no in the start. And he opposed Peter face to face. So he had to do that face-to-face because Peter was out there telling some news publicly, so he kind of had to be corrected publicly. So the truth was made publicly, and that's how they did it in those days. They didn't have Facebook. But that not only did Jews and Gentiles not mix together, but they didn't eat certain foods, and they cooked, Jews cooked them a certain way, and they ate them a certain way in a certain order. And I think that also Paul did it publicly, so there's no gossip. He didn't just talk about him behind his back or to other people. He did it publicly. No gossip, no lies were going to be spread. So when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him, that's Peter, to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. That was the mark of the Jew, remember? But afterwards, when some friends of James's came, they came from Jerusalem, we think, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of, there's that word again, circumcision. And as a result, the other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray. Barnabas, he was a good bloke. Okay, he started with Peter, with Paul, I mean, in the beginning. So even he was led astray. So comparison can be both good and bad. I could look at someone, you know, oh, you know, that person over there, you know, they smoke. At least I've never smoked. Okay, that's one form of comparison. The other form of comparison was like, wow, Chris was such a great preacher last week. Oh, I hope I can be as good as that one day. Okay, there's also a form of comparison. Looks good, doesn't it, that form where I'm, you know, holding her up in high esteem. But any form of comparison is a stumbling block to your freedom. So when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you are Jew by birth, so that means they were born Jewish, they were selected by God to be the nation of Israel that became Jews. Nothing they did, no works that they did made them Jews, only that God had set them apart or made them holy. Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow those Jewish traditions? So you can imagine Peter corrects corrects Peter publicly. How would poor Peter have felt? I reckon these are some of the things he would have felt. He might have felt shame. He might have felt that his pride was wounded. He might have felt anger. Or he might have you know, he was a leader, so he should have been perfect. So some of these things look good to us Christians, but they're not always good. Brian says that don't hold me on a pedestal because it's a long way to fall. And Peter was just a man. He wasn't Jesus. He made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He was just a human like you and like I. The second part says, you and I are Jews by birth and not sinners like the Gentiles. So the sinners meaning that they didn't know the law and therefore they might break that law. Not on purpose. So sometimes we break the law and we don't know about it. To tell you a story about my son, when he was about two or three and I picked him up from daycare and we had a seven-seater car and the car seat is right up in the back seat, he came home from daycare and he said this word that he probably hadn't heard at home, and it started with F. It wasn't farm. And he's sitting up in the back seat of the car and he's singing Old MacDonald and he's saying, F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F-F- school. And so he keeps on with his little song. And I said, oh, that's a naughty word, Lachlan. Don't say that. And he went, and I said to him, if you say that word again, I'm going to wash your mouth with soap. And I can't tell you the end of the story in case you judge me, but Lachlan said that soap doesn't taste very nice. And he now tells his kids about swearing, and Grandma will wash your mouth with soap. I would never do that. So sometimes when we sin, we don't know we're sinning. But in the beginning, he didn't know it was a sin. But when I told him, it's a naughty word, he knew it was a sin. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ and not by obeying the law. So we've got some Ten Commandments over there, which is the law. And for us Christians, a lot of Christians live by those Ten Commandments. And I'm probably guessing not too many people in this room have indulged in murder. But Jesus said, if you say slanderous words about someone, it's the same as murdering. So have we broken any one of those Ten Commandments? Jesus also said, obey your parents. Was anybody in this room not a rebel teenager? Yeah, I didn't respect my mum so much. Sorry, Mum, as a teenager. Like, she forgave me, hey? And you know what? The other thing, like Mum's friend Shirley, live a good life. Try to help people. Try to be kind. Try not to swear. Try to say nice things, which is great. But it's not what is required of me. I mean, it's nice to have. Yeah. As we believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God, because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God obeying the law. So there's two ways to be made right. One, you can be saved by perfection, and then you'll be judged sinless. Impossible. None of us can claim that. Jesus could, but we couldn't. The other way is to be forgiven for our sins. God sees us as perfect through Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, his blood was poured out and it was poured over top of all of us. And so when God on his throne looks down at us, all he can see is the covering, the cloak you mentioned this morning, the covering of Jesus over us. And he sees us perfect. But suppose we seek to be made right with God. Made right, what does that mean? Righteous, not self-righteous, justified, in a right relationship. Okay, so if, I'm just going to have to put the microphone down for a sec. If I can talk big. I hold out my two hands, and if this hand represents me, and this one represents Jesus, and in this hand is the book of my life, and in here are all my sins. Jesus on this hand, he's free. He's free to wait for God, talk to God and have access to God. And what Jesus did when he died is he came down and he took that. He took that to himself. And now I'm free. And I have access to God. And I can reach God. And I can talk with God. And that's what we thank Jesus for.
So we're not guilty
because of Jesus. So with God, through faith in Christ, we are found guilty because we have abandoned... Suppose we would be found guilty. Sorry, got guilt up. Good girl. Because we've abandoned the law. Would that mean that Jesus made me do it? No. No way. Absolutely no. I am a sinner, though, if I rebuild the old system of law that I've already torn down, if I pull that out from the bottom, because when I tried to keep that law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. Anything that a sin is anything that separates us from God. And some of them look good. And here's another one. This one's another one. I'm just really... If I'm trying to meet all the requirements, you know, this is one I personally have struggled with. I don't mind telling you. And still keep myself in check for today. Am I doing it to make you happy? Or am I doing it in obedience to God? And sometimes when I am in obedience to God, you get some benefits out of it and you are made happy and you are pleased, and that's great. But if I'm doing it to make you happy, not on. I do nothing. So what if I did whatever I felt like doing then, led this really hedonistic lifestyle? It's okay. That's what it's saying, isn't it, that passage? No. Works through obedience and love is one thing, but it won't save me. It's not what is required of me. Only faith is the only thing. And sometimes that just seems too easy. But that's the only thing. Not works, not what I do, not what I say, but just faith. My old self separates you from God. Sin is anything that separates you from God. So self and sin could go together. So we've got here a couple of good-looking boxes, pretty boxes. Self-reliant, independent. I'm a very independent woman, have my own money, can drive a car, go where I like. But we were designed to be in community. We were designed to commune with God and with each other. And, you know, sometimes when you let someone do something for you, it actually blesses them. Instead of saying, I can do that. Because if I can do it, there's no need. There's no need for God or Jesus in my life. And there's certainly no need, as it says here, for Jesus to die on the cross. And if you think about that, think about the actual things that happened. Oh, that's horrific, isn't it? A terrible way to die. But it says here, my old self has been crucified. Should have crushed that box, not just put it on there. With Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. It's my temple, that just where my spirit dwells. And I'm just a spirit person living on this earth, not a person on earth with a spirit. Because I trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. So I don't keep God peripheral, or I keep him in my pocket or on speed dial. I don't set him aside so I can call on him when I have trouble. What I do is that I'm consciously aware of him at all times. He's the centre of my life. He's in everything. He's relevant and he's valid. Otherwise, there was no need for Jesus to die. Whew, here's the prison. It's holding us in. It's the law that declares us guilty. It is the wall that imprisons us. Oh, did we miss one? What did I forget? Oh, I forgot about religion. I forgot about religion. Yeah, put that up too. Yeah. It's forgiveness that sets us free. And what does that look like? It might be about forgiving someone in our lives that's done something. And whether we tell that person or not, that sets us free when we forgive them. It might be about something we've done that we need to ask someone for forgiveness from. And you can ask God, but it is so freeing when you actually go to that person and ask them to forgive you. And they look at you and they say, I don't even know what you're talking about. But it was very freeing for me to do that once. Or, this is a really big one, it might be about forgiving yourself. And that's a hard one. Freedom means that you're truly right with Jesus, that you believe in the finished work of Jesus and nothing else. You're free to be who he designed you to be. And you're free to belong in Jesus Christ and him in us. This is from Psalm 39. I just want to pray this over you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So you can all just close your eyes for a moment. And if we believe that the date we celebrate Jesus' birthday is 25th of December, Jesus would probably be like a little, I don't know, six or seven, eight-year-old baby. And I just want you to see him there, just a little baby in the manger or in his cot or any baby in the cot. And you look down on him and you can pick him up if you want to, hold him. And guess what? He smiles at you. That's what babies at that age do. He just looks at you and he smiles. He wants to interact with you. He wants to tell you how much he loves having you in his life. He wants to tell you how pleased he is. He wants you to interact back and smile back at him. It's a beautiful age, that age of a baby. While you've got your eyes shut and just thinking, I want you to ask Holy Spirit to highlight maybe any of those words that stood out for you before we knocked them down, or anything that is stopping your freedom. Anything you need to forgive someone for, or that you need to seek forgiveness for. Anything that you need to forgive yourself for. But I want you to know you are forgiven and you do have freedom in the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
So we're just going to finish with Romans. Let's read it. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvellous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. Amen. So maybe just take a couple of minutes to just search your heart and see, dispense with if there is anybody that you need to forgive, or just spend some time with the person next to you or someone you trust, or you're welcome to come up the front. If there is something that is actually stopping you from stepping into freedom, if there's something that's keeping the wall of boxes up in your life. So there'll be a few of us up the front here to pray if you need, or just pray with the person next to you.